A world that follows the rules of epidemics is a very different place from the world we think we live in now. Think for a moment about the concept of contagiousness. If I say that word to you, you think of colds and the flu or perhaps something very dangerous like HIV or Ebola. We have in our minds a very specific biological notion of what contagiousness means. But if there can be epidemics of crime or epidemics of fashion, there must be all kinds of things just as contagious as viruses. Have you ever thought about yawning, for instance? Yawning is a surprisingly powerful act. Just by listening to the word yawn in the previous sentences, a good number of you will probably yawn within the next few minutes. If you're listening to this in a public place and you've just yawned, chances are that a good proportion of everyone who saw you yawn is now yawning too. And a good proportion of the people watching the people who watched you yawn are now yawning as well, and on in an ever-widening yawning circle. Yawning is incredibly contagious. I made some of you listening to this yawn simply by saying the word yawn. The people who yawned when they saw you yawn, meanwhile, were infected by the sight of you yawning, which is a second kind of contagion. They might even have yawned if they'd only heard you yawn, because yawning is also orally contagious. If you play an audio tape of a yawn to blind people, they'll yawn too. And finally, if you yawned as you heard this, did the thought cross your mind, however unconsciously or fleetingly, that you might be tired? I suspect that for some of you it did, which means that yawns can also be emotionally contagious. Simply by saying the word, I can plant a feeling in your mind. Can the flu virus do that? Contagiousness, in other words, is an unexpected property of all kinds of things, and we have to remember that if we are to recognize and diagnose epidemic change. The second of the principles of epidemics, that little changes can somehow have big effects, is also a fairly radical notion. We are, as humans, heavily socialized to make a kind of rough approximation between cause and effect. If we want to communicate a strong emotion, if we want to convince someone that, say, we love them, we recognize that we need to speak passionately and forthrightly. If we want to break bad news to someone, we lower our voices and choose our words carefully. We are trained to think that what goes into any transaction or relationship or system must be directly related in intensity and dimension to what comes out. Consider, for example, the following puzzle. I give you a large piece of paper, 1/100 of an inch thick. That's a typical thickness. I want you to fold it over once and then take the folded paper and fold it over again, and then again and again until you've refolded the original paper 50 times. How tall do you think the final stack is going to be? If you ask people that question, they'll fold the sheets in their mind's eye and usually answer that the pile would be as thick as a phone book. Or, if they're really courageous, they'll say that it would be as tall as a refrigerator. But the real answer is that the height of the stack would approximate the distance to the sun. And if you folded it over one more time, the stack would be as high as the distance to the sun and back. This is an example of what in mathematics is called a geometric progression. Epidemics are another example of geometric progression. When a virus spreads through a population, it doubles and doubles again until it has figuratively grown from a single sheet of paper all the way to the sun in 50 steps. As human beings, we have a hard time with this kind of progression because the end result seems far out of proportion with the cause. To appreciate the power of tipping points, we have to abandon this expectation about proportionality. We need to prepare ourselves for the possibility that sometimes big changes happen very quickly. Then there is the idea of the tipping point itself, which might be the hardest of all to accept. The phrase the tipping point first came into popular use in the 1950s and 1960s to describe the flight to the suburbs of whites living in the older cities of the American Northeast. When the number of incoming African Americans in a particular neighborhood reached a certain point, 5% or 7% or 10%, sociologists observed that the community would tip, meaning that almost all the remaining whites would leave almost immediately. There was a tipping point for violent crime in New York City in the early 1990s, and a tipping point for the reemergence of hush puppies. All epidemics have a tipping point. Jonathan Crane, a sociologist at the University of Illinois, has looked at the effect the number of role models in a community, the professionals, managers, teachers, whom the Census Bureau has defined as high status, has in the lives of teenagers in the same neighborhood. He found little difference in pregnancy rates or school dropout rates in neighborhoods of between 5 and 40% of high-status workers. But when the number of professionals dropped below 5%, the problems exploded. For black schoolchildren, for example, as the percentage of high-status workers falls just 2.2 percentage points, from 5.6% to 3.4%, dropout rates more than double. At the same tipping point, the rates of childbearing for teenage girls, which barely move up to that point, nearly double. We assume intuitively that neighborhoods and social problems decline in some steady progression, but sometimes they may not decline steadily at all. At the tipping point, schools can lose control of their students, and family life can disintegrate all at once. I remember once as a child when I saw my family's puppy encounter snow for the first time. He was shocked and delighted and overwhelmed, wagging his tail nervously, sniffing about in this strange, fluffy substance, whimpering with the mystery of it all. It wasn't that much colder on the morning of his first snowfall as it had been on the evening before. It might have been 34 degrees the previous night, and now it was 31 degrees. Almost nothing had changed, yet everything had changed. Rain had become something entirely different. Snow. The world of the tipping point is a place where the unexpected must be expected, where radical change is more than a possibility. It is a certainty.